At the end of this program, we'll let you know where to send your questions for a future Contending for the Faith. You are listening to Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. Now, in our final segment, Understanding the Scriptures, we continue our exploration of the doctrine of salvation. Here again are Dave and Tom.
In our pursuit of understanding why Christ had to go to the cross in order to save mankind, we've been reviewing the first few chapters of the book of Genesis. Last week we went over chapter 3, verse 15, which is the first place in the Bible where God promises a solution to the fall of mankind. The fall took place when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. The penalty was physical and spiritual death, separation from fellowship with God forever. That sin affected not only Adam and Eve, but all of their descendants. In Romans 5:12 we find, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So the fall, Dave, had immediate results, which we've been discussing, and as the scriptures demonstrate. But let me pick up with verse 16. "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." This wasn't Adam and Eve's situation before the fall.
Apparently not. It does imply, and again, this is a controversial statement, it seems to imply that they may have, at least may have had children before the fall. Because when God created them, he says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So it wasn't understood that they would only have children if they sinned. They were supposed to have children from the very beginning. And now he says, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. You could say, well, that means multiplied more than what it would have been without the fall. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't necessarily mean, and it doesn't if they had children already, but I think that you...
I think you're looking
possible.
To open a big can of worms here, Dave.
Yeah, right, well...
We've got letters about this before.
Yeah.
But that's your, you know, that's a view that you're not being dogmatic about. But let's look at that for a minute. Then would they have sinned?
Oh yes, they would have sinned. That's why there are no extraterrestrials out there. Any creatures of God, humanoid, intelligent, with moral agents with the right of choice, being less than God, would make a less than godly choice,
right,
which is sin. So undoubtedly they sinned on their own. Tom, I shouldn't have said anything about it. We better drop it. but it's a possibility. What it means, I don't know, unless it has some implications in Genesis 6 for the sons of God.
But let's make a point here. You see, you're reading the scriptures. You're one of the few guys I know, or let me say it another way, you have such a great command of the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. I mean, you've been studying it for 50 years on your knees.
60,
see? So I'm always impressed.
And I was taught it for many years before then.
Right.
Okay.
So,
well, I became a believer 60 years ago.
At the very least, you have a comprehensive view of the scriptures. So you could take a look at a verse like this and maybe see some things there because of your understanding of other scriptures that I can't. I'm yet to arrive at that level. Although, you know, I'm at a certain level and others out there, maybe young believers. But what we're encouraging here is that if they read a scripture, let other scriptures interpret.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so that they, whatever they believe by faith. By being diligent.
On the basis of the Bible itself.
Exactly.
Not some interpreter to the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me get into a little trouble here, Dave, now that you have. The end of verse 16, it says, "And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Now, I know I've gotten into trouble in the past because it seems to me that, as I understand the scriptures, that Eve here, in a sense, wants to rule. Her desire shall be to thy husband. Now, not everybody interprets it that way or has that understanding. But if you look at not only the scriptures, but down through history, God's plan has been for man to be the head of a household. Mm-hmm. And throughout history, so some people call it patriarchy, but there has been a thrust for matriarchy to take over and take control. Now, whether that relates to the scripture or not, I can't say absolutely, but it seems to imply that to me.
Well, I think it does. He shall rule over thee. Now, the women's livers are going to get really upset right away. Read the Bible. As you said, the Bible interprets itself. Go to the other scriptures, and you will find that this is not a rule of tyranny, of mastery, but it's a rule of love. Now, you got two people. You don't have three, so you can't have the majority rule. Somebody has to be in charge. On the other hand, the Bible speaks, for example, Proverbs 31, it speaks of this virtuous woman, that her husband trusts her in everything. Sounds like she's pretty much in charge of almost everything, the whole household and so forth. So it's not that the husband is dominating her. And Ephesians chapter 5 says that husbands are to love their wives. Interesting, it doesn't ever say that the wife is to love the husband. She's to reverence her husband. That we're to act towards our wives as Christ toward the church. Christ is the head of the church. Am I going to get upset and say, well, wait a minute, I think I ought to be, or at least I ought to have a 50-50 vote? If you try to have a marriage based upon a 50-50 deal, mm-hmm. It isn't going to work. We each, husbands and wives, must each love the other so much that they want the good of the other, not for themselves. Mm-hmm. So, but someone has to have the final word, not dogmatically. And wow, you know my wife, Ruth. She seems to be in many ways so much wiser than I am. I consult her on everything. She's my editor for sure. Mm-hmm. Red lines things that I write.
Mm-hmm. Your toughest critic, but your greatest supporter.
Yeah, but but just because she redlines something doesn't mean that I just acquiesce always. I say, wait a minute, Ruth, I think that was okay, you know, mm-hmm. what I was saying there. So we have a partnership, but someone has to, if it comes to a decision that has to be made, who is going to say? Someone has to say it, but the husband says it in love. Mm-hmm. And he says it as being himself under Christ. The husband is supposed to be the spiritual leader in the home. And I think an awful lot of husbands fail in that. And that may be why many women have to kind of take the spiritual leadership.
Right.
Because their husbands are not growing in the Word of God in relation to Christ. They can't take the leadership. They're not equipped to teach the Bible, which they should be, to their children. So I believe that a pattern has been set here. And Paul says, referring to this, he says, Adam was first formed, then Eve. So there's some priority there. Mm-hmm. He was the first one. Eve was made from a rib taken from Adam's side. Then he says, and he was not deceived. It was the woman who was deceived. And for those reasons, the man has been made the head. Now, if somebody would have to be the head, would be the woman that would be made the head. Mm-hmm. She was created after Adam. She came from Adam's side. Now, furthermore, if this is a love relationship and if this is what God wants, then why object? Why fight against it? Why not submit to the husband as he submits to the Lord? So really, in submitting to the husband, you are submitting to the Lord through him.
Mm-hmm. Dave, we can go back before the fall, and it seems to indicate you gave the pattern that God set forth for man and woman, husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
And Eve didn't seem to be, with regard to her first sin, didn't seem to be certainly going in a partnership with Adam, talking this thing over with him with regard to, I know I'm speculating a little bit here.
Tom, you're making a good point. Because if Eve had been in this relationship with Adam.
Mm-hmm. And this was before sin.
Right.
Even self is a problem.
Right. Even as a partner, if she had consulted Adam. Now, she didn't consult Adam. She didn't need any self-assertion training. This is where self had its awful birth. This is why Christ said, except you deny self. But we're being taught in the church today self-esteem, self-improvement, self-development, all centered in self. No, this is where self had its awful birth. Mm-hmm. She trampled on the rights of Adam. She didn't even consult Adam. She took the leadership, and the first leadership that the woman took brought sin into this world. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not saying, well, then all women are like this and so forth, but this is a pattern, and this is something that God has established, mm-hmm. then why not go for it? And the husbands, likewise.
Mm-hmm. Husbands, well, we've gotten in past programs, I mean, we've called a spade here. Adam, talk about being at fault. He went in with his eyes wide open.
That's right. But I want to say to husbands, you don't now then lord it over your wife, and you don't just stubbornly insist on. You better take your wife's advice, listen to, consult her. This is a partnership. Mm-hmm. And very often wives are wiser than their husbands. But that's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about a godly order under God, under Christ, that God himself has established.
And this verse 16 and other verses that we'll look at, this is the result of sin. We talked about other verses in which self-preservation was the big thing. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. There's self in all of its ugliness. Mm-hmm. And it developed from there to what we have today.
Been a broken record ever since. So not my fault.
It's the fault.
Society's fault. Mm-hmm. Somebody else's fault. Yeah, right. It's a tragedy.
This is what sin has wrought.
Yeah.
Dave and Tom will resume their exploration of God's salvation again next week. We hope you can tune in. This is Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. If you are a diligent student of God's Word, our ministry makes available a wide selection of teaching materials, including books, tapes, CD-ROM, our internet website, and others. In a moment, we'll let you know how to order these and other materials, as well as a free subscription to our monthly newsletter. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number 0840. And please mention the call letters of this station. Next week, Dave and Tom will interrupt their series of programs based on Dave's latest book, An Urgent Call to a Serious Faith, with a one-year retrospective on Search the Scriptures Daily. Ted Turner sponsors a religious summit. We'll look at that topic and examine the question, did Jesus die for all of us, or just a select few? We hope you can join us. I'm Gary Carmichael, and for Dave, Tom, and everyone here at the Berean Call, I would like to thank you for tuning in and invite you back again next week. Until then, if you desire to know God's truth, search the Scriptures daily.
You've been listening to Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. For more information about the Berean Call and a free subscription to our monthly newsletter, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon, 97708. Call us at 800-937-6638 or visit our website at www.thebereancall.org. Join us again next week for Search the Scriptures Daily, featuring Dave Hunt and T.A. McMahon.